I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I guess we had a little technical difficulty getting going this evening. I apologize for that, but at any rate, we're going to have an interesting show for you this evening. And it's going to center around the whole idea of doing your inner work. So if you're new to ET Yoga, you might want to have a pen and pencil handy because there'll be lots of information given out there concerning lots of self-empowering practical things that you can be doing. But before we get into that, I'd like to kick things off in our usual manner with a little bit of Japa Yoga meditation, Hari Om by Sri Swami Sachidananda.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari
Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari,
Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda doing the Hari Om Japa meditation. And if you go on YouTube, you can find lots of different variations on that particular mantra. But that's the one that I think is the best one. And Sri Swami was my teacher. He passed on in 2002. Of course, he's still my teacher. But anyway, I like to start the shows off with a little Japa yoga. And also, I'd like to mention at this point in time a disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, you'll also know that I applaud everybody's efforts to try to distance themselves from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And before we get into a lot of the practical techniques and ideas, the ET Yoga spin on doing your inner work, I'd like to place it into some kind of context. And I would like to use a little bit of Arcturian information to place us in context. And it kind of goes like this, that the universe you find yourself in began about 20 billion years ago as a point of light within the mind of God. And this point of light was contained within a greater point of light, which was contained within a greater point, etc., into infinity. There's an aspect of the Godhead that has always existed and that expands and contracts an infinite number of times. And when you directly experience these levels, you realize that this energy was never created and will never end. It just is. The original souls were founders. They were the original sparks of light that were showered out from the infinite source during expansion. Your galaxy, the one you call the Milky Way, was seated in several quadrants. Your quadrant began in what you call the Lyra-Vagan region. It is here that the first seventh density forms were manifested, and as I understand it, after sixth density, the life forms are non-physical. There have been four major civilizations on Earth: Pangaea, Lemuria, Atlantis, and the present. And according to the founders, the humanoid form was seated on Earth about 100 million years ago, and they were seventh density beings. I give that kind of as information to kind of place us into some kind of time frame or perspective, since most of us still think in terms of linear time. And it also gives us an idea kind of relating to what Barbara Marciniak has stated in a very recent interview with her, where she mentions that the current situation on the planet means that it's harder and harder to be born with a healthy body, and it's harder and harder to leave here with your brain intact. And this is referring to all the neurological diseases, autism, etc., with the newborns, and with specifically Alzheimer and other related issues for the elder generations. And also, I think it's interesting to note that Bashar Information has stated that we are now traveling as we're crossing the galactic plane. We're coming into some new energy now that's called the Arcturian Gate. And this Arcturian Gate energy is assisting the newborns to have more of a connection with their higher selves, much easier for them to do. And, of course, certain factions on our planet would not like to see that happen. Thus, we have all these issues with getting born in a healthy body. And as well, I think it's interesting to note in our situation here that one of those civilizations on this planet was the Atlantean civilizations. And it was my understanding that it was about after this time that we, for the most part, lost memory connection with our higher selves. And, of course, I'm sure many listeners to ET Yoga have had that connection rekindled. And the more of us that talk about our higher selves, I think the more that idea spreads in our current time frame. So I wanted to kind of give a perspective on this, as well as throw out the idea that when we're looking for a mark or a demarcation line between third and fourth density, and as I understand it, Atlantis was a fourth density, and we have since downgraded down to third density. Now we're going to be going back up to fourth, fifth density. That it's good to use this as a signpost. People that believe or know or understand that your thoughts, emotions, definitions, beliefs create the outer experience that you have. And people that are in that particular state or time mode are actually already operating in fourth dimensional consciousness. People that think that the world is just happening to them, that's all kind of a random scenario, are operating at third density. And I bring this up because if you're going to be doing your inner work, why bother doing your inner work if your thoughts and emotions and beliefs and definitions don't have a direct bearing on what you're going to be experiencing? And also connected to that are a couple of really key concepts. And Bashar was the first one that I heard mention this particular idea, and that was that this whole concept of deservability is just huge. According to Bashar, you can do all the techniques in the world, do all the inner work you want. You're probably only going to have minimal results if you don't have a real good positive feeling about your deservability. And I can't emphasize this enough. I mean, it's at the core of the whole process. So deservability is a major issue to my way of thinking in terms of your inner work. That's where you start. You start with your deservability. And I want to expand upon that a little bit because I think that in the world today, when guilt was introduced to our society, this really impacts our deservability. And because if you're going to be in a vibrational state of guilt, I find that sort of incompatible with having a high state of deservability. And I'd like to quote from Bashar now, that he says that one of the key ideas engendered upon your planet long ago is the idea of guilt. Not that other civilizations do not experience it, but you have delved so very deeply and so strongly into it that your civilization, among the many civilizations we have encountered, has an expertise that is matched by none. Not that this makes you any less. In fact, the idea of your willingness to even experience such limitation in many ways actually makes you strong and is and of itself an indication of how strong you know you are to be able to subject yourself to such a degree of limitation. This allows you to create many wondrous occasions of self-incrimination, self-invalidation, self-limitation, segregation, and separation in your lives. And many times it is the primary ingredient, the primary symbol, to allow you to prevent yourselves from creating in your lives what you prefer, what you desire, and what you know deep within you is what you deserve to experience in your lives. Guilt is what will always perpetuate limitation, always perpetuates separation. It keeps you from recognizing your own self-empowerment and your own connection to the infinite creation. for recognize that fundamentally speaking, while many of you for a long period of time have assumed that hate is the opposite of love, guilt is the true opposite of love. Hate may be the diametric, dynamic, polarity expression of love, but guilt is the true mechanical opposite. For love is complete and utter self-worthiness and creativity, while guilt is the belief in lack of self-worth. And it implies non-creativity. Hate involves the concept that you deserve something, whereas guilt is completely devoid of the sense of deservability. In fact, guilt is the denial of your very existence. Therefore, the belief in your lack of self-deservability allows you to be able to create a scenario in which you actually keep at bay all the things in life that are yours by birthright, such as happiness, ecstasy, and creativity. Guilt is the bitter pill that was injected into your society by your society to keep you in the status quo of lack or self-empowerment, or lack of self-empowerment. Because when you truly believe you are not connected to all that is, or God, the infinite creation, when you truly believe you must control by force in order to get anything at all in this life, then do you further the continuation of limitation, further the continuation of guilt? This scenario has become the very ethic of your society. When you do not believe you are connected, you thus do not believe you can create the things you desire in your lives with great ease and effortlessness, and things become worthless to you if you don't create suffering in order to get them. No pain, no gain, as you say. When you are told a story in your world and that story contains pain and conflict, struggle and strife, you say, "Oh my, very realistic story." But when you're told a story where it says, "and they lived happily ever after," you say, "Ha, that's a fairy tale. That's not real life." Well, there's absolutely nothing within the creation of the universe that insists that the story containing the conflict is any more real than the one that does not. It is your choice, out of your habits, to believe that pain is more real than joy. So as we have said, this has become the ethic of your entire civilization, that you cannot have anything in your lives that is worthwhile unless you have suffered, unless you have, as you say, earned it. But do recognize that you do not have to earn it, you already own it. Your birthright. You were created from ecstasy. You were created out of love and light. It is your birthright. And everything you do can be an act of love done with effortless ease of creativity. You are made in the image of the infinite creator, and that means quite simply that you are infinite creators and multidimensional ones as well. That is the natural you. If you allow yourselves to realize that you no longer need the tool of guilt, then you give yourself the expansiveness of your birthright. You will allow yourselves the expansiveness of your vitality, and you will then be able, with all clear consciousness, to create and attract into your lives the things you know you deserve. You will find that when you remove guilt from your toolbox, what is left will be this recognition and realization. Nothing is too simple or too good to be true. Nothing. Nothing is too simple or too good to be true, and nothing is too wondrous or too ecstatic to be yours. Nothing. You deserve all you can conceive of because you exist. And if you exist, then obviously all that is, the infinite creator believes you deserve to exist. If you exist with the desire for creating peace, harmony, joy, ecstasy in your lives, then know that you are not created with that desire without also having been created with the ability to attract that into your lives. Your awareness of that idea in and of itself is sufficient to bring it to you. Creation holds nothing back from you, and it never has. Never. In all circumstances in your lives, each and every one of you has always been supported 100% by the universe. You are not ever given a desire without also being given the ability to accomplish that desire. And thank you, Bashar, for those words, because on the spiritual journey, it's just so true. And this whole concept of deservability is, to my way of thinking, that's the foundation stone of doing inner work. Now, the next foundation stone, to my way of thinking, concerns health. Because as Swami Satchitananda would say, there's no yoga if you have boga. And boga, it means ill health. And thus, I think it's very, very important to make this a priority issue, as you can call it part of your inner work, but clearly your physical health is very, very important. And again, we thank Bashar for pointing out to us the fundamental foundations of good health. And I would suggest that as part of your inner work, that you do an inventory of what you are doing in the six areas that are the basis for good health. And those are pure water, oxygenation, which could mean yoga pranayams, or getting out in nature a lot for sure, where there's lots of good clean air. Minimizing stress, getting plenty of exercise, lightening up the diet, and doing detoxification. And I might throw one more in there, get lots of sunlight, because vitamin D is the trigger to the immune system. And we know that most people in North America are vitamin D deficient. Vitamin D, in my opinion, comes from sunlight, and that's about it, even though I know there are claims out there that, you know, it can be artificially produced and found in other places, but I'll stick with good old sunlight. And I don't buy into the sun scare. If you've got really sensitive skin, you think about using things like certain oils with water, aloe vera juice with water. These mixes will protect you. You won't burn. I don't know. I get lots of sun, never burn. That's been my experience. Try to get really daily amounts of sun. And, of course, I've done some extensive talks on ET Yoga about sun gazing. Interesting area. I'm not going to delve into it this evening. But, again, another really, really positive thing that you can be doing. Now, so my suggestion here is do an inventory of what you're doing in these six areas. Again, the pure water, you know, whatever it takes, Berkey light filter, it's a priority. Water, you know, we're mostly made of water. If you do research and check out Masaru Emoto and the power of water, water is a perfect reflector of consciousness. And this garbage they put in the water, this fluoride, it's not good for you. And it's very important to have pure water. Oxygenation, doing yoga pranayams. By the way, at etyoga.com, under my techniques, I teach actually the whole, like a set of four pranayams that you can do in like 20 minutes, and they'd be great. You know, do them every day, super oxygenate the system. Eliminating stress, I appreciate that. That's a tough one. That's an inner job. Get yourself some exercise. Break a sweat at least three times a week. Get daily exercise if you can. Go for walks. That's the way to go. When it comes to diet, you're working towards a vegan diet. Get off the meat. And detoxing is huge. as both Dr. Schultz at the American Botanical Pharmacy in California and Bashar both agree, about 85% of all physical symptoms disappear with thorough detoxification and providing the body with essential nutrients. And at the American Botanical Pharmacy in California, Dr. Schultz also sells a superfood, does provide all the nutrients. And according to Bashar, the human body is capable of healing 99.9% of all issues if thoroughly detoxed and provided with the proper nutrients. And that's a good belief to have, by the way. You want to do your inner work, believe in that the human body is a miraculous healing machine, because it is. And the only thing you need protection from is your own thoughts, not anybody else protecting you in any other way, my opinion. Now, as we kind of move on here, doing your inner work, I think raising your frequency certainly is high on my list. I would suggest Pillar of Light. That's the Pleiadian technique of Pillar of the Light. You can go back to, it's the June 14th ET Yoga show. I believe I did a whole show on techniques. Pillar of Light's in there, so that's one that you can check out. That's bringing light into your every cell in your body, coming down through all your chakra systems, all 12 chakras, by the way, 7 in the physical body, 5 outside, and also different variations on that to connect you with the energy of the earth and also to your light body. So a Pillar of Light technique, to me, one of the easiest and most effective ways of raising your frequency, because it's all about light quotient. To get your light quotient to a certain factor, you'll be moving up a level. I believe that some kind of daily meditation is important. For example, at the top of the show, we did the Japa Yoga mantra meditation. It's about a 6 or 7 minute clip. Even if you did that, in the morning and once at night, bingo, get you off to a start. Be regular. You'll probably find, if you get into it, that you'll find it's very effective. Mantra meditations are kind of like using a tuning fork to tune you to high frequency. The thing in you that's most at a lower frequency gets eliminated. It's a powerful technique. And so is the XYZ that we do at the end of the show. Allows you to connect with any level of consciousness in the entire universe. It's for consciousness expansion. Some other interesting ideas that you can use for as far as inner work, I pretty much do this every day, is the Pleiadian suggestion of intention. You can effortlessly intend that you're always in the right place at the right time, that you effortlessly intend that you want to give love and receive love in all things you do. You can effortlessly intend to be safe in all things you do. You can effortlessly intend to be successful in all things you do. You can effortlessly intend full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. These are very positive affirmations that can be very, very powerful, because intention is a very powerful tool. I would say that you could spend some daily time devoted to creating what you want instead of complaining about what you don't want or what you don't have. You can spend a little bit of time doing some inner work about this, becoming more aware of when you're talking about things that you don't have as opposed to talking about what you have, because the universe works by being a perfect reflector, and you need to be a frequency match for what you attract into your life. So to me, these terms are all synonymous. Belief creates, thought creates, being a frequency match for a certain event creates that situation. So a belief has its frequency match, and vice versa. So this is all very important, and also scientifically proven. I would say it would be a very good idea to take a pen and paper and identify where you're giving your power away. what you'll find is that if you take a light and shine it on your life and look at areas where you've been abused or are being abused, you're being abused in areas where you give your power away. And the idea is to try to be as self-empowered as possible, and almost equate that to kind of like being self-sufficient in power ways. Definitely working towards self-sufficiency is an area that you probably should be working on with respect to your personal health and bodily maintenance. That's just my opinion, because it's, to me, it's like if you have a problem with your car, if you can fix it yourself, you do it yourself. If you're able to learn more about how the universe works and how belief works in this world, and you're starting to be a conscious creator of situations and attracting certain situations in your life, then what you will find is that you become more knowledgeable about certain health issues and how you can handle them yourself, and thus become more self-empowered in those areas. I would say also to sit down and make a list of what you believe as verified by what's happening in your outer life. Take a subject, any kind of topic like money, any situations that you're involved with, friends, relationships, abilities, what you believe generally. Make a list of topics that you are involved with on a daily basis and write down in writing what you think your beliefs are in these areas. And then try to identify if you have limiting beliefs, because this is another part of placing inner work in its perspective. When we're growing up as young children, we're downloading, probably the first 6 years of our lives, we're downloading belief systems from our main caregivers. And I think the idea here is to thank those caregivers for all those beautiful, positive ideas and beliefs that they've passed down to you. But as we progress in consciousness, we realize that not all of those things we were taught are necessarily useful anymore. Some of those need to be changed. To me, this is what I call maturity. As there comes a point where you need to do some inner work. That's why I'm doing the show tonight on ET Yoga, is because this stuff doesn't happen automatically. If you grew up with certain victimhood mentalities, unless you do your inner work, you're going to always have those victimhood mentalities. A lot of people will notice that the same things keep repeating in their lives, like the same type of partners or relationships. Maybe they keep, coming to an end because you keep attracting the same type of people. Well, you're attracting them because you're a frequency match for them. You need to do some inner work in terms of figuring out why you're attracting the situations that you are. You need to do some of that inner work, and then you need to change whatever beliefs need to be changed. As Bashar would say, once you become aware of a particular belief, then that belief at that moment, it becomes kind of neutralized. It doesn't have power anymore. And that's the point at time that you want to insert a new belief and focus on that, because it's every bit as real as the old belief. It's all about belief. And to me, that's what ET Yoga centers around. It all centers around belief and belief systems. And I would also really keep track of and become aware when you catch yourself using expressions that relate to blame, complaint, and criticism. Because blame, complaint, and criticism are signs of victimhood. The minute you start to blame anybody else for something, you create yourself as a victim. This whole victimhood mentality is something that pretty much everybody on this planet has some issue to work on. And I would suggest that when you catch yourself blaming others, complaining, and criticizing, I mean, there's just no positive benefit from any of that. It's in a negative spin. and it just creates you as a victim. So make a list of areas that where you blame others, or where you complain about your circumstances, or you justify your circumstances, or that you're being critical of others. It's not helping you at all, and it just reinforces a victimhood mentality. I would say that it's also very important to keep track, make a log of anything that you would term negative in your life, a negative scenario, something that's going on in your life that you find is negative. And then what you want to do is place a positive spin on it. This is one of Bashar's main techniques. Comes from the concept that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meanings. People assume that outer circumstances come in built-in meanings, but they don't. It's like four people sitting at a dinner table and two like the meal and two don't. It's the same exact meal, but it's positive for two people and not positive for two others. All circumstances are that way, and regardless what they are, there's always a silver lining. It's like there can't be a circumstance unless it has two sides. It's like a coin. It has to have, you know, the head side and the tail side. So what you want to do is throw a positive emotional spin on that outer circumstance. When you throw a positive outer spin on an external circumstance, you create a positive experience. And I've been challenging, well, I've been doing radio now for years, I don't know how many years, hundreds of shows, and I always try to challenge the listening audience. Make a log. Prove me wrong. Well, I guess if you don't believe it, maybe it won't work. But just be open-minded. Give it a shot. Even if you don't see any possible way that something positive can come from throwing a positive spin on that circumstance, just do it and say, look, I don't see any possible way that anything good can come from this, but I just can't wait to find out what it is. And then see what happens. Log it. Some issues take longer to sort out. Some you'll see immediate results. But if you play with this concept, you're going to get it. And once you get it, it's going to blow your mind. Because to my way of thinking, it's the key to being in this universe. Because it's like when I used to do old tarot readings or I Ching's 20 or 30 years ago, I used to think there were negative scenarios. There were negative abstract concepts in the I Ching, or that there were negative situations in the way the tarot cards lay. Now I know that there's no such thing as a negative, that they were not built in negatives. Every situation has a silver lining. Yep, a positive spin on any of these, it's kind of what I call stacking the deck of life in your favor, because anything can be turned into a positive experience. And I challenge everybody to keep a log. In other words, write down what it is that you're defining as a negative, and then try to muster as much positive emotion as you can, place the positive spin on that circumstance, and then write down in your logbook what happened and what your experience is of that. And what you will find is that the formula is clear. If you define a situation as negative and throw a negative emotional spin on it, you'll have a negative experience from that. If you define it as being a positive and throw a positive emotional spin on it, you will have a positive experience from that. And that's why I also say it's so vitally important whenever you have any kind of medical condition, the first thing to do is not be freaked out by somebody telling you that, you know, oh, gee, you've got something, you know, deadly here. No, and scaring the hell out of you and putting you into fear mode. No, the idea here is immediately put positive spin that something good's going to come from this, because anything's curable, and I mean anything. So that's my advice. Another thing that's I think really important here is to know about really having putting out positive emotion, and that relates to one of Bashar's ideas about outer circumstances really aren't as important as your state of being. And this has been proven scientifically that we emit emotional magnetic energy 5,000 times stronger than the brain from the heart, that heart and brain resonance is created when you are expressing gratitude. And gratitude is just huge because that places you in the optimum vibratory space to do reality creation. And I've done many shows on reality creation. I'll probably do many more in the future. But to me, reality creation kind of falls into about three categories. One is where you already have your built-in set of beliefs you've downloaded from childhood that are going to be reflected out in your outer world. Then there's going to be the ones that you consciously are changing, putting energy into, and starting a second level of attracting certain situations to yourself by placing positive spin, another way to do that. And then the third one is just instantaneous manifestation, which is kind of like the master level of reality creation. So to me, this is really important stuff. Feeling good is the start to everything. As Abraham and Esther Hicks would say, feeling good is the start to creating anything positive. And it's kind of like taking a page from King Arthur and the Excalibur. Apparently, young Arthur innocently approached the sword and swiftly freed it from the stone without hesitation. He had no expectations of failure, for he had no fears about the outcome. His power was in pure play, not in the torment of twisted possibilities. No yearning there, simply wonder, what if? Those who failed to free the sword came to the stone with great seriousness and anxiety. They were trying to use physical force for their power source, rather than allowing the force of the source to be their power. When you feel negative emotion, the sword remains stuck in the stone, for you have cut off the flow of your creative life force towards where you want to go. The sword of truth is freed from the stone when you feel positive emotion. When you choose to think thoughts that lift your spirit up, you lift the sword from the stone. You allow energy to flow through you to those things you desire. You have attained creative control of your kingdom. You are the monarchs of universal source, the creators of your own royal destiny. The inner realm is where you create the outer world. Wield your sword with the light of love and awaken to a life of living happily ever after, for this is truly your royal birthright. And that's from Merlin, as channeled by Merlin the Magician. That's from the Creating Camelot Club. Highly recommend that website. It's really into fourth and fifth dimensional thinking. And along those lines, I think I'd like to connect to another one of a Bashar interviewer actually asked the question of Bashar, is the earth too far gone to be saved? And I really like his answer. He said, if you believe the earth is too far gone to be saved, it is. If you believe the earth is needing saving, it does. If you believe the earth doesn't need saving, it doesn't. And there are millions of possible earths, and you choose the one that resonates with your beliefs. And I think that also ties nicely into another one of Bashar's sayings, that you don't have a belief you don't prefer. So if you have a negative belief, you need to analyze the situation and find out why you have that belief. Again, this is your inner work. If you have a really negative belief about something, it came from someplace. Why do you hold that negative belief? And, human motivation leads us to gravitate to those things that are positive and more pleasurable, and gravitates away from what we perceive as pain. So if you say you prefer to quit smoking, for example, but don't, it's because for some reason there is a larger payoff to keep smoking. Maybe you're afraid of gaining weight, or that you will become nervous if you quit. but for some reason, not quitting becomes the path of least resistance. If you have a negative belief, you say you do not prefer, you need to find out why you have that belief. And to me, this is only something that you can do. I mean, somebody else just really can't do this inner work for you. If you've got, if you've got some negative belief, I remember in 2012, I was on a radio show, Unicus Hour, and somebody asked about, the negative scenarios that are going on, and, the world's coming to an end and all this kind of stuff. And I go, well, as my friend John in Boston, and I think John's probably listening tonight, he knows what I'm going to say. He's going to say, our motto is, today's the best day ever, and this year is the best year ever. I mean, that's the attitude to have. And there probably are people that have experienced that, those destructive scenarios already, because there are other parallel reality Earths that people can attract themselves to that experience. I like the one about today is the best day ever and this year is the best year ever. Spend some time focusing on that one, and I think you'll find out you'll have a positive experience. And here's the physics of how this works. Each belief gets you vibrating at a unique set of frequencies, and these frequencies then attract, by sympathetic resonance, those holograms vibrating in the same frequencies. That is, out of the background universal matrix of infinite possible holograms, which is all of the infinite possible versions of reality that are simultaneously existing, those holograms and symbols that synchronistically vibrate at the same frequencies as the frequencies of your belief get pulled out from this matrix and received by you as the actual external physical experiences that you then sense as real, that you sense as objective reality. So, that's the physics of how it works. And that's why you're invisible to that which you are not a frequency match for. You can't experience something negative unless you're a frequency match for it. So, if you got some things going on in your life and you're starting to identify them, then you need to start identifying how much of the time here am I spending being a freak, putting this energy out with this belief, especially a negative belief, and I'm attracting the frequency match. So I'm attracting those holograms from the universal matrix that are going to come into my experience. And there is no objective reality. Reality is experience. There is an idea of a consensus reality, but that's it. There's this idea of a consensus reality. But reality is experience. And another one of Bashar's ideas is you need to start taking 100% responsibility for your outer experience, because the truth is you are 100% responsible. It doesn't mean you're to blame, because that just gets you into more blame, self-blame or guilt or whatever. But realizing that the outer world's reflecting back to you your beliefs, not to punish you, but to show you what you believe. So then you have the power to make adjustments to what's out there. And there's a little trick, too, to this one. And I'd like to share. It's kind of like, let's say, belief number one is kind of like you go to a canyon and belief number one, you yell out, belief number one, belief number one, and you hear the echo, belief number one, belief number one. And all of a sudden you decide, well, I'm going to change that belief to belief number two. So I'm putting out belief number two, belief number two. Well, what you're going to hear back is belief number one, belief number one. Then you're going to hear belief number two, belief number two. And that's kind of how this universe kind of works, too. It's kind of like when you've changed your belief to something positive, the outer circumstances may not change right away. And you can get stuck, kind of get sucked into a trap here by saying, well, no, I guess, you know, I tried to change my belief. I guess it isn't working. I must be doing something wrong. Well, then if you change to that belief, then you're going to be back to where you were with the old belief. But just hang in there and keep stuck to your new belief, because if you react differently to what's, even though the outer world hasn't changed, as long as you're reacting differently, you really have changed, and in time, that outer reflection will change. So that's the secret there, and that's a nice one to know, because when you start playing with reality creation, what you're going to find is that that's a real handy tool to know about. So stick to your beliefs, because they're going to manifest. It's the physics of how the universe works. And we know from Greg Braden, recent quantum physics research, that the whole physical universe, they've done sort of on computer programs. They know that it functions. It's a holographic universe. They know that the energy is consciousness, and the language of interpretation is belief. That's what this universe works on, belief. And the core center of ET Yoga, belief is. What you believe is, and you have to be a frequency match for anything you experience. So in kind of recapping here on inner stuff, I hope I've provided you with a couple of ideas that maybe you haven't thought of before, or a new take on an old idea. And as usual on ET Yoga, I like to wish everyone my best wishes towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I would like to close out the show tonight with the XYZ Extraterrestrial Meditation by Bashar.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ Extraterrestrial Meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably, or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you out the front all the way to infinity, but it returns even faster now out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front, back and forth, 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 and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea, and then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down and and up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is, and as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.